This is Call with Dad's podcast, where today's issues, concerns, and joys of being a dad are discussed, with your hosts E.A. Maynard and Mr. Pancake sharing their views, experiences, and all things they know. Join the journey with us. Welcome to Call with Dads, more than a podcast or a website, but your home for a community of dads who want to be better. Now let's get started.
Plus, I live on coffee. So let's just dive into this. Barry,
right on, man.
You have a Twitter account that where I basically got to know you, that and through Lords of X that we're both a member of. We got to know each other through that way. And I love, like, you have a lot of fitness, trying to get dads to be healthier and work out and get back into it. You're very focused on dads doing good things and being good and being fit, so that from how I understand everything I've seen you put out, it's all about not being that bump on the log or being lazy, but doing what's best for your kid, making sure that you're there and all this. I mean, first off, what even got you into doing all this? What was the whole thing besides you probably enjoyed working out? Why does it matter if a dad works out or not?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I tailored it specifically for fathers because I had a lot of people asking me how I was able to still stay fit after I became a dad. And it's a struggle. Sorry for swearing. It's definitely a struggle. So I had to, I mean, I was coaching people in general. So I figured it would be a good niche to specify in training just dads in general, because I mean it's so much easier to work out when you're just a young man or younger without family obligations, and it's like exponentially harder once you actually have that little one running around like this one kicking me right now asking for yogurt.
Right. Oh, I understand. I mean, I have two little ones myself. And how old's your kid, just out of curiosity?
She just turned 2. I have a 12-year-old also. Oh, she'll be 12 this year, so that's okay. A decade gap.
Okay. Well, that's a lot bigger than mine. Mine's 2, and my oldest is about to turn 6 in a couple weeks. And, you know, speaking of, like, yeah, when you're single, like, when my wife and I first met, for example, the apartment complex we lived in had a little gym or workout place, and we would go in the evenings and work out together. She would be on the treadmill, and I would do stuff. Easy as can be. No big deal. Go work out, have dinner. And now, I mean, I'm trying to work out. I found an app. I use this app, and it's a no weights, no equipment kind of app to use. But, you know, it's one, if it wasn't for that app, I wouldn't even know where to begin to work out at home, because everyone thinks if you're going to work out, you have to go to a gym. You have to, being a dad, I work out when my kid's either in the shower, when he's getting his bath, this and that. So I'm trying to get done in that period or as soon as they go to sleep. And, man, I am exhausted at that time, too. I mean, we all try to do what we can to be good parents and do what's right. But I see a lot of different people saying you have to put your health first, then your kid. And you said you coach people this and that about how to be healthy. I have a huge problem with that is I put my kids way before myself because I want them to be better than me. And I try to be better myself so that they can see what I do. But dads like me, what do you say to dads like me that are saying, man, I'm going to put my kids first no matter what? I have to make sure they're 100% before I can.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it comes up quite frequently, actually. And I like to use an analogy of like a cup of water. So you as the father, you're the cup of water. If you don't really put much effort into yourself, you can still fill up your kids' cups, but then you're just completely depleted. So then what you need to do, I'm not saying don't prioritize your kids because it's silly. No one's going to say that. But there is times where you have to be selfish and take those couple hours a week to put into yourself so that your cup is actually 100% full, so that you will have more than abundance to spread back into your family. So that's actually something that took me a while to learn. And that's probably why I'm so passionate about helping fathers specifically, because it's so much easier as a father to sacrifice yourself, your health and well-being for your family. I mean, it just like seems inherent nature to fatherhood. Good fathers. It's easy right. to be a horrible father, but So that's the thing that I like to tell my clients and people specifically is I get what you're saying. It is, it's a lot easier to just put it all into the kids and neglect yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm. But imagine how much more you can give to the kids once you actually do focus on yourself. For those, it's simple as a couple hours a week. Just put that into yourself and it's going to 10x your returns for your family.
All right. Now you did bring up the point of being a good parent. Being a good parent, being a good dad, because it is, anybody can have a kid. That's the sad truth. I mean, I've seen enough parents that I sat there and go, why did you even do the deed if you're not going to be a good parent?
Yeah.
But the fact is like, for me, I know like, and I've said this on my show a few times, is my biological dad was more focused on himself and his career than family, and in doing so he was kind of this whole first he ended up having a lot of emotional issues in the sense of he had anger, he had just separation where he didn't really want to be around my brother and I, but yeah. he did it because he felt like he had to, and as we grew up we saw that more, and then it was more of a he felt like he had to compete with anything that was going on. So it was more of a I'm better than you kind of a mindset, which if that was my only example of a father, I think I would have ended up turning out to be a worse dad than I am. And I'm not saying I'm a bad dad. I guess I should have worded that better. But like my stepdad, was a great man. He when he was alive, he literally was very straightforward, never touched me, never hit me, never talked down to me. If he said something to me, he was very straightforward. And he was the type of guy that literally when he passed away, I think there was a 6-block procession to get to the gravestone, get to his grave plot. I mean, to me, that's a big difference in personality to see one example of that kind of parenting and the kind of parenting where, like, my stepdad, great man, went out of his way to make sure I knew right or wrong. I knew he would just wouldn't worry about how old I was to try to soften it. He would just put it bluntly. Hey, you're messing up. You're being an idiot. All this stuff. And most of my best memories is about thinking about him when it comes to fathers and like that example of a good dad. What do you think the big thing that dads need to focus on or not? Let me rephrase. Not what the biggest thing they need to focus. What do you feel from your perspective and the things that you see is the biggest issue that dads, new dads, long-term dads, dads that are just trying to pull it out of wherever to make it through, what's the biggest issue you think they're having? Is it something along the lines of where, like I said, my dad was a horrible, well, I guess I can't say horrible. He was not there. He wasn't there emotionally. He was barely there physically. And I'm not, mind you, I'm not the touchy-feely type of guy. And if it wasn't for my kids, I would even be less. So.
Yeah, me too.
So, I mean, it's like I can't even stand somebody giving me a massage. So my kids are, other than my wife, my kids are the only other people that are allowed to come near me and touch me or punch me. Well, my kids are definitely the only ones allowed to punch me. But where do you see issues coming from that dads need to try to focus on that are easily trapped? Like you said, it's easy to fall into neglecting yourself and not working out because you want to focus on your kids. But on the same note, some dads are, like I said, focused on their work more than they are their kids.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we see it all the time just being in the dad space of any of the social media stuff and how if you were to speak with an older gentleman and said, hey, how would you have rather worked more hours or spent more time with your family? It's inevitably, as long as he actually cares about his family,
right.
He's going to say, yeah, I wish I didn't put in all that OT. I mean, yeah, you got some extra money. You might have been able to purchase more material goods, but or even experiences. But there's nothing that can put a price on being present, like actually present with your family. And that's the biggest thing that I see is just the presence aspect of it, because there's a lot of fathers that are home. They just work regular 9 to 5. They come home, but they're just not present. And that's the biggest issue from things that I've seen and things that I've experienced from friends, not really my family. I didn't experience that much, but I've seen it a lot throughout my childhood and just present day families and people that I hang out with and stuff. Like, their dads will come home, their moms, whatever, but specifically their dads will come home and they're just either just so burnt out or they just don't actually want to be there, but they're just not present with their family. That's a huge, that's just a decision, honestly. It's just a mindset, in my opinion. Like, you want to be there, so be there. Get off your phone.
And yeah, I think that the phone is a big issue, to be honest with you. And
oh yeah,
like I've noticed a big difference from the time that I've taken the phones away from my kids. And I'd say that I spend quite a bit of time on my phone because of trying to do the whole dad sphere thing. But I also, as soon as my kids come up, I put the phone down, I interact with them. I forget, a lot of times stuff gets lost and I'm like, okay, well, it is what it is. But I think everyone talks about how the kids are so focused on their phones, but this is rehashing something I've said prior, but I've even seen parents in church on their, like a lady on her phone during church, and in the row in front of me, I looked down. Mind you, I don't know if I was being nosy or just looked accidentally, but I noticed like she's searching a website. I'm sitting there thinking, why are you in church if you can't put your phone down long enough to pay attention to what's being said? And I'm not saying that you have to be religious to have that issue, but the fact is people are, you see people walking around with their phones just do, 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 do. And you're like, put it down, pay attention, look at what's going around you and turn off the notifications, turn off all this stuff. We grew up like when, I'm imagining you're close to about my age. I'm 44 years old myself, and I'm guessing you're maybe a little bit younger than I am from looking at you.
So, yeah, a little bit. I think I'm 36 this year.
So,
thank
you. You're as bad about it as I am. The only reason I know my age now is because I've had to say it a few times before. I've literally had to pull out the calculator and go, okay, I am.
Math.
Yeah, but yeah, it's big. It's a big thing that even I have talked to people that talks about how they refuse to let their kids have technology. I'm like, okay, that's good. And then 2 seconds later, they pull out their phone and they're looking at something up or they're doing something on their phone and they'll be 10 minutes on that. And I'm sitting there going, why are we talking if you're going to be focused on your phone? And
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's, technology, I think, is getting out of hand, and I think that's also another cause that people aren't really working out much in trying to... Technology is good and bad. It's all a matter of how you use it. Like I said, for me, I use an app that allows me to be able to work out in the evenings because, you know, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to a gym, but at 10 o'clock at night when my kids are asleep, I'm not going to leave the house and... Yeah. My daughter only being 2 years old, she wakes up randomly just, I think, to test me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely seems like it sometimes.
Yes, it was bad. I had last night, my daughter just didn't want to sleep. And then I've had a prior night where I would get her to sleep and she would roll over. And if I was walking out or if I wasn't there, if she opened her eye, she would start making noise or crying. So I had to come back in. Oh, I'm sitting there going, listen here, little lady, you got to get some sleep so I can sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, yeah, if it wasn't for technology, I wouldn't really be able to work out because I don't know the first thing about workout. That wasn't the environment I grew up in. I grew up, I'm probably one of the better ones in my family that I can think of that's in shape. And I'm still... make the joke that, hey, I'm in great shape. Round is a shape because
That's funny.
That, or there's an old comment I heard a long time ago that, yeah, I have a six pack. It's just underneath the keg.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm definitely not fit. Like, I'm not going to be going to the gym, ripping my shirt off and being, or wearing one of those tight shirts that everyone sits there and goes, well, he spends all his time at the gym, you know? I've seen pictures, I think, that you posted of yourself where you have a good body shape. You look like you work out. And, yeah. I mean, that's fantastic, and that's a great example for your kid. Be healthy, be active. My kid just started wanting to come down after his baths to watch me work out, so, and that's a whole challenging itself. I mean, do you work out with your kid around, or?
We have a basement gym in the basement, so my wife and I will lift down there, and we'll bring the baby down once in a while, and she has her own little set of dumbbells and little baby kettlebells that rattle and stuff like that. So she's been exposed to it, and we got some trampolines and little other things for the older ones. They're not really into it, but they're at least exposed to it, and they see mom and I working out at least, so they know of it. Like, they know it's a thing that we do, and we talk to our oldest one about it because she'll be 12, so she's way more of an adult than the 2-year-old, but
right,
they're definitely exposed to it. And we got a trailer for the bikes and stuff for the little one, and so we'll take her on bike rides and stuff like that. But I'm hoping that the little one will pick up a little more of the fitness bug from my wife and I, because the oldest one, it's take it or leave it. She's just more goofing around, having fun, but she's getting more into organized sports in school. I mean, she does jiu-jitsu outside of school, so she has some sort of physical activity going on, but she's going to be more... She said she wants to do track, which cracks me up, because anytime I go for a run, I'm like, hey, you want to go run with me? She's like, absolutely not. I'm like, all right. You do realize that's what track is, right? It's just pure running.
That's funny.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, you wouldn't give me running to save my life. I mean, unless there's a bear or a wolf behind me, you will not see me running. But
dude, I totally get it. I hate running, to be honest with you. I just do it because I know. I mean, I just like to do things that I find difficult. I use it as a mental challenge, really. That's why I got into endurance-based sports, is my body's physically capable, but my mind will tell me to quit almost immediately, and I like to be able to conquer that. And I've been trying to push myself mentally to see my breaking point. Really, that's what I've been looking for. And I've run marathons, I've run ultra marathons. This year, I'm running the entire country of Wales in a couple months. So that might be my breaking point, because that's an insane race. It's like 350 kilometers or something stupid like that. So this is coming from someone who hates running. It always cracks. During the intro call with like the coaches and the other clients for the race that I'm training for, my first sentence was, I absolutely hate running. Why are you doing this race? Well, long story, but I like to do things I don't like because it's challenging.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. You said that, and I think you've mentioned a few times on your social media, I think it's been, where you said you used to be a heavy drinker, then you just decided you had to get things straight, you started working. And obviously, your littlest one has been around for as long as you've been working out. But your older one, you said, is about 12 years old. Have you been working out her entire life, or did you start that after she came about?
So, I mean, technically she's my stepdaughter, so I missed the first 5 years. But, yeah, I've been working out since I was, like, 19 or 20 or so.
All right.
So it's been well over a decade, probably 15 years or so at this point. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I worked out throughout my entire decade of alcoholism. I mean, I was in really good shape despite being a raging alcoholic. I'd get drunk every night, so I've talked about it before on podcasts, where I used to be a personal trainer when I was younger, and I was just such an arrogant asshole because I told clients, like, listen, I'm going to go home after this session and get completely wasted. I'm going to drink an entire bottle of vodka or whatever, and I'm still in better shape than you. So, like, what's your excuse? And I realized that wasn't the profession for me at the time because I was just being mean to people, and that's right. That's not what you're looking for. I mean, some people responded to it, which was fine, but 95% of people are just like, oh, okay, wow, don't be such a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I went to gyms, and I've come across trainers that were that way, and I'm like, you know, why would I pay somebody to treat me like I'm dirt to them? So I understand that. Yeah. I mean, and when did you, I guess my question I'm trying to figure out is, did you kind of cut the drinking out before you became a dad or after you became a dad?
It's a good question. It was about the time that my wife got pregnant, because she wasn't really a drinker much. She would drink socially with me. But once she got pregnant, obviously she stopped. So I didn't quite stop immediately. And there were a few occasions after that where I finally realized that, oh man, I've always known, but I finally accepted is the real term, that I can't control this. I'm an alcoholic. I need to just eliminate it completely from my life. And it was kind of serendipitous as far as timing with my wife getting pregnant and all of that, because there was no other way to get alcohol in the house unless I went and bought it. So it was even more of a motivator. I leaned into my wife very heavily for that period because, I mean, I would drink liquor for breakfast, so I didn't care. Like it was bad, so I needed her help for accountability, and I'm very grateful for her for that.
You know, that brings up a topic I wasn't even thinking about digging into, but the one thing is a lot of times we focus on, at least in the dad sphere, it's all us dads. How can we make sure we're doing better? And a lot of that does involve us doing better, working to be better and all this. But like you said, for you, you needed your wife to help you, which is perfectly reasonable considering if you were at the stage of drinking basically your bowl of cereal was full of vodka or whatever your drink of choice was. I mean, at that point, what do you think if it wasn't for your wife, if you didn't have that good marriage, or at least that solid marriage, that you would have been able to change your habits or change who you were to become a better dad, become a better person?
I don't think I would have, to be honest with you. Because I had known for a while that I had a problem. I'm not living in denial. I know I have a problem. Like I said, I just didn't. But I don't think I would have been able to fully stop if it weren't for the support of my wife. Because I had stopped prior, a couple of years before. I kind of yo-yoed all the time where I'd stop, just have a beer or so at dinner maybe, or if I was out with friends, I'd have a beer, and then inevitably 6 months into me trying to control it, I would be drinking it for breakfast again and be like, all right, well, I can't. So, yeah, I don't think I would have been able to finally break the cycle if I didn't have that support system. Not only just my wife, but I've got a couple friends who are also recovering alcoholics, so we kind of have that camaraderie and that thing that we can lean into each other on if we're going through, cravings, that's the word.
Right.
I mean, I don't have that anymore. It's been a few years now, but still, to answer your question, I don't think I would have been able to break out of the cycle without my family, specifically my wife.
Right, and that just makes me think about the reason that Pancakes with Your Dad, the count that I do this show with, the reason him and I started all this, and if anyone's wondering, he wasn't able to make it today, so you're stuck with just me, obviously, if you haven't figured that out yet. But the fact is the reason him and I originally started this was because we felt that there had to be a community of dads to help support each other, to be able to, because there's a lot of things that dads, we just don't talk about, or we're scared to talk about with other dads. And like you said, for you, the drinking, if you didn't have that community, your wife, the friends that have been in recovery, all this stuff, you wouldn't have been able to pull through, and you probably would have still been drinking. I mean, I know I've become a better person since I've been married, and I used to smoke. I used to drink heavily, not for breakfast, but come home in the evenings, drink 3 to 6 beers in the evening and be like, okay, no big deal, and go on my way. Yeah. And I never once thought I was an alcoholic or thought that I had a drinking problem. But my wife, she doesn't drink. So eventually it was like, okay, well, the drinking I just put away. Now, I make homemade wine, so I still drink. But it's like Saturday evenings, or I'll have one bottle of wine, it'll last me 2 weeks. Compared to before, yeah. I would have one bottle of wine and then debate if I wanted to have another. You know what I mean?
I do.
So there's a big difference the reason this all hits home in my mind is I've watched people I grew up with. They're back in Ohio, and I've watched people that I've known through traveling the country that they didn't have support. They had friends, but they were, I would call, passings. The people that, oh yeah, yeah, my friend over there, he's what does he do? I can't remember his last name. John's a great guy. You know, just that guy that you talk to, but you don't know too much about. You don't really have that connection, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people have those friends. A lot of people have that kind of community where it's very loose. And especially nowadays, it seems all of us are really heavily focused on, like, I work from home. So that's the reason I have the ability to do these shows is I can talk and then work in the evenings after my workout, after what so have you, I can hop on the computer and do what I need to do. So I have that flexibility. But the one thing I have definitely noticed is I don't talk to people very often. And my wife and I joke, because we homeschooled my son, that my son is my coworker, because he's the closest thing to an office mate I have. You know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of it is me going, okay, well, I have my son. I have to make sure that I'm doing this. I'm present. I'm answering questions, all this stuff. Yeah. It's very easy. If I would have married some of the women I've dated in my past, I could tell you I probably would still be smoking, drinking, and might have probably been a horrible dad, more like my biological than my stepdad. So choices and just lucky happenstances and all this help us be better. But the dads, I don't know what to tell everybody that is like in my position, where I've gone out and created something with another dad creator to build up a dad community that I can interact with. Not everybody has that ability. What do you think is a good way for people to be able to build their dad community or build something to help them be able to find that support?
It's such an amazing question, because that's actually the catalyst that started me on this whole journey of becoming a coach again. And I specifically built it community first, not just one-on-one relationships. I built it so that it's male camaraderie. I mean, it's severely lacking in my personal life. I'm very similar. I work from home. I only interact with my family 95% of the time. I miss going to the office now that I've worked from home for so long, just because I do like talking to people. Right. It's also why I started a podcast as well, just another outlet to be able to chat with cool dads that I need in my life. And so it's funny that you asked that, because I didn't know either, so I started my own. And that's the whole Dad Fit Dynasty community stems from it. Jake and I got together. I started the coaching side. Jake was doing more of the marriage and family related things. And there's just so much overlap with both of our visions and both of what we want to build, that that's why we ended up coming together and combining the Dad Fit coaching and the Dad Dynasty. So now we have the Dad Fit Dynasty community. And aside from that, I mean, start your own, man. Like, that's the only thing I can really say. I know a lot of the people that I chat with presently, they do a lot of community outreach through their religious circles, most of them predominantly Christian or Catholic-based religious. I don't have that. I don't go to church and any of that stuff. So I even had less of an impact in my community, or less of an outreach in my community. I mean, I'm the only one who really talks to my neighbors. I don't think I would have ever met them if I didn't initiate those conversations. And that could just be where I'm located right now. It was different where I grew up.
Right.
But where I live, well, everyone's very, very isolated. And that's fine, whatever, do your thing. I mean, that's how my wife is. She doesn't care too much about knowing the neighbors or any of that kind of stuff. But I mean, that's just how I am, personable like that. And I also, I just want to know, like, I don't want the neighbors to be crazy. Like, I want to know if they're crazy. I can't change it if they are, but I'd rather have some sort of established relationship in case anything arises that I need their help with, or they might need my help, etc. I'm just very traditional, I guess, in my views, and similar to my parenting styles and things that are specifically about this chat and conversation. But to go back to the question of if there isn't really things like that in your life, which is exactly where I was a couple years ago, I just created my own, man. I started building this, as I said, community first coaching business. It doesn't even have to be coaching. It can just be around any sort of hobby. Like, maybe you like arm wrestling, build an arm wrestling community with friends, or like, I don't know, whatever you're into. I mean, that's also another thing that's missing in my life. That's why it popped into my head, but no arm wrestling clubs around me.
I can honestly say I haven't arm wrestled since I was a teenager, but I mean, I imagine that there are online arm wrestling groups somewhere, but that's funny. But no, there's groups everywhere of different types of communities. If you don't want to focus too much on the dad side of it, but you want to, like I mentioned earlier, I make wine at home. I obviously think homemade wine tastes much better than commercial. Plus, I know what's in it, and I know it's healthier. And yeah, I can control if I want to make it heavily alcoholic or lightly alcoholic or barely any alcohol. That's all up to me. And there's a lot of winemaking groups out there that I've gotten into, in and out of throughout the years. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. And you can do it online. You can do it in person if you can find it locally. I don't see too many online arm wrestling groups doing competitions, but I mean, you look at it. Well, no, what was it? There was, I'm trying to remember. A while back ago, I think I saw on Rumble, the video platform, they had the slap championship.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Where you basically hold a thing and then you just slap somebody across the face. And I'm sitting there going, how is that a thing? How is it a thing, but how is it such a big thing that there's a slap championship?
I'm not surprised.
But the fact is you have so much different options out there to connect with people. And I think a lot of it is people are getting so, like I said, when you talked about neighbors, I have a neighbor behind me that doesn't like me. A neighbor kind of behind me and to the side that I think tolerates me, but doesn't really have an issue with me. Neighbor across the street who I get along real well with. And then one next to me that refuses to even talk to me more than three words at a time. And I'm sitting there going, I'm like, you know, that's why good fences make good neighbors. But at the same point, like you said, people, the majority of them is, they don't want to interact with people because we've gotten so drilled in our head that you need to keep a distance. You need to not really get close. And I mean, when I was growing up, even guys were told you have to be strong. And the only way we understood strength, at least where I grew up, is either fighting, sports, or showing how strong you were or how much you could endure or things like that, the physical thing. I mean, a guy doesn't cry. What guy cries? You little sissy, put on your skirt and go away kind of a mentality. And
Me too.
Now I see, like, I'll admit, for me, like I said, I'm not the touchy-feely type of person by any means. But with my kids, I'll show them I love them, all that. But outside in public, outside around other people, I'm kind of standoffish just because I've gotten so used to, hey, keep your distance from me. And if, and I just have that natural pose, kind of, and that natural body language that says, and occasionally you'll have somebody that'll come up and go, well, you look like you need somebody to say hello to you. I'm like, sure, why not? You know? And I'll admit, there's a lot of things I know I need to fix. And there's things that I talk about even on here that I say, you know, I know that this needs to be done. I'm not perfect at it. And that's another reason for this is I need to figure out how to be better because I have my opinions. I have the things that I grew up seeing. And there's things like Jake, who's at the time we're recording this, his episode just came out on our show. And he brought up a ton of things. I've listened to his. So after we recorded, I listened to it while I edited it. And before it came out, I listened to it again and caught a few extra nuggets and then listened to it when it came out. And I'm sitting there going, there's a lot of information there.
Yeah.
I just edited a show for another guy who's on the Lords of X group with us called Tom, the Earn Her Respect.
Yeah, and we just Jake and I just had a chat with him last week. Tom's okay. Awesome, dude.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed him quite a bit. He was fun to talk with. I'm trying to get him scheduled to come back on the show as well. But, like, he had a bunch of information that I never even thought about. And, I mean, we all like to think we're the greatest dads ever. In fact, I have a shirt that says it. But but the fact is we all have things that we can learn. And listening to other people explain things, like, what was it? I posted it on social media, and it was something that I said about my kid saying, I'm sorry all the time. And he does it because he thinks that if he says sorry, he gets away with whatever he wants. You know what I mean? So my response was, is I tell him not to say I'm sorry, but just to fix the problem. Or stop saying you're sorry and let's figure out how to fix it. Or let's change things. And that was my mindset. And he stated it in another way, which was him saying, okay, now mind you, his kids are older than my 6-year-old. Or 5, soon to be 6. And it actually made more sense to use that direction that we discussed. And I think, like, I'm switching a lot of our conversations as we're just ranting to different areas. But to me, I think, like, you building your community of dads, your community of people who want to get in better shape, be healthier and all that. Without that community, people don't have that other resources to say, and of course, we have to make our own decisions. What's right? What's wrong? What do we feel like? I think even we talked about at the beginning, you said you don't approve of spanking or corporal punishment. Me, I believe in spanking, but between a certain age group is where I kind of stick to. In my mindset, if they're wearing diapers, so they have that extra cushioning and they're able to understand what a light tap is. But I also believe there's people that go to extremes, like we mentioned on this show a few times, of a video that went around, and you probably saw where this dad, grandpa, whatever he was, just wailed on this little boy in a store or something.
Oh yeah, that was pretty recent. Yeah.
So I mean, that I don't believe is spanking. That I believe is just hitting, abusing, and being full of anger. So I mean,
straight up.
Yeah, but like you and I differ on that views, but there's a lot of things that you've said already that I'm sitting here going, okay, well, I need to go back and listen and try to take notes or try to figure out how I can implement these things. And I don't know if my ramblings made any sense or anything to you, but, you know, it's the whole thing of you've spoken with quite a few other dads as well who I'm sure you've gotten information from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, the community portion, and I know I'm really harping on this because I do find the importance behind it, and I guess because of your position with it is why I'm kind of diving more into it, is do you, from what you've seen, have you had anyone come out? Like, I've had a few messages from other dads saying, hey, I like what I'm seeing, or people saying it's great to have somebody talk about these topics so I know I'm not alone. Have you seen or gotten that feeling from the community you've built?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's more of the podcast interviews and stuff that I've had. And it's honestly, it's a lot of, I've had that feeling more than I've gotten feedback from it. So, I mean, I know that that means it'll resonate with the rest of the community, but just some of the things that I see in real life that I don't understand. I get it on like a fundamental level, but like on a interpersonal or like a human level, I don't quite understand, and I don't get how people can act certain ways. And it seems to be very prevalent throughout a lot of society, and it always makes it, not always, it used to make me feel crazy because I would see things and be like, that doesn't make any sense to me, yet it's so prevalent. And right. Now that I've been having these conversations with other people, and I've been just interacting with community members and like having one-on-one messages with those kinds of people, I'm not alone in my thoughts of, hey, some of these things that we see in modern day society are not right. Like, I've said it several times in my podcast, like, I feel less crazy when I have these kind of conversations with men like yourself or anyone in the community. And it kind of just like reinforces that the views and values that I have as a person are valid. Not that I'm looking for validity from people, but it is nice not to feel crazy. That's a good win.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're out alone, and you see, kind of like you're saying, you see all the stuff in society, the things going on in public schools. And I mean, even like when I talked to Jake, I made the comment, and I told him, when somebody tells me they're a public school teacher, my first thought is, do I need to keep my kids away from you? And he kind of chuckled a little bit, and he pointed out that, you know, it's a small group right now from what he sees that is doing that. But, you know, with everything, like, my wife and I live in Virginia, Northern Virginia, and almost every school in Northern Virginia has the gay pride flags. They have gay pride month, all this stuff. And it's all focused on these different groups, and it seems like they're focusing more on making these groups happy than teaching the kids the information. And I thought, you know, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm the one that doesn't understand something because I don't want my kid being bombarded with this stuff. I want him to be bombarded with information, with math, with reading, with science, all these things. And, you know, I'll throw some religion in our conversations, but it's usually, I'll talk about religion separately, and I teach them religion as religion because I want them to understand and be able to comprehend it. And then I want them to focus on science. And when there's a overlap, kind of like the Big Bang Theory, all these things, I tell them, you know, we all have theories. And I've heard theories of how the Big Bang Theory could have happened in a religious thought process. And, you know, there's a lot of things. And mind you, 6 years old, after you start getting into too many details, it's like, oh, my snake. You're like, okay, yes. So, I mean,
we'll get that with the 11-year-old.
Yeah. So the fact is, like you said, once you get that community, you do see, even just listening to podcasts, I've gotten a lot of understanding from different podcasts I've listened to, that while I'm not completely alone out here with my thinking. And like Jake, I would, after talking with Jake, understanding Jake's thoughts and how he looks at things, if Jake was one of the school teachers that I would have met, I would have been like, you know, maybe public school isn't so bad. Maybe I'm just overhearing things. But before we decided to homeschool my son, we took him to the local elementary school. And now, mind you, my son, he's reading second grade level books, and he's technically in kindergarten. He does nothing kindergarten level. Everything's first, second, and third grade levels. And when we went to the tour of the school and such, the head of the kindergarten program said, now, if your kid doesn't know their ABCs, don't worry. I'm sitting there going, aren't they supposed to know how to count and do their ABCs before they go into kindergarten? And then they were talking about, like, oh, if they don't know how to do this and don't know how to do that, I'm sitting there thinking, this is basic stuff that your kid should have known. And, like, one thing is we were worried because my kid had a speech delay, right? And now we just can't get him to be quiet unless he's asked a question. He will talk up a storm and want to tell you stories and ask you a million questions. But the moment you ask him a question, it's, oh, listen to those crickets. It's like.
That's funny. Processing. Yeah. That's what he's.
Yeah. No, I think it's avoidance, more processing. It's, I want to ask you the questions, but I don't want to, I don't really want to answer those myself.
Sounds about right.
So, I mean, what was the biggest thing that you're finding that helps you, like, from your podcast? When you talk to other dads, what do you find, even when it's just you and Jake talking? Because I found stuff like Mr. Pancake and I, when him and I talk, there's things that I'll pick up because we do have similar views on things. There's things that we don't, but they're listening to, even with similar views, the way he thinks of something helps me think of it in a different way. What's something you think you've picked up that you can at least think of right now that would have been from just the community if you wouldn't have had that?
Yeah, I mean, predominantly most of the chats have been about fitness. I mean, that's just what my specialty is, so that is most of it. But a lot of it is also the fatherhood stuff. And, I mean, my wife is also a teacher as well, so I have a lot of insight into the nonsense that she has to deal with. And I am personally not a big fan of it as well. She's actually going to be leaving this upcoming year so she can stay home with our daughter. It's not indefinitely, but I'm trying to make it so that she can, just because I would rather. I mean, she's already got her master's degree in teaching, so she would be a valuable resource to help grow our child's minds. But anyways, definitely a lot of the public policy nonsense, I don't quite understand, specifically fitness and fatherhood related. The biggest thing that comes up most frequently for me is whenever I'm at the park, I just see parents just noses on their phones and their kids are literally coming up and grabbing their pants and saying, "Hey, come play." And they're like, "Yeah, okay, I'll be right there." And they're just never getting up. And whenever, like before I started all of this community and journey throughout all of this, it, I was like, why am I the only one out here? Like, am I really that big of an anomaly that I want to play with my children at the park? Like, I couldn't understand that. And that was the biggest comfort for me from all of the chats and community members that I've experienced, is that we're all, I mean, it's not, I'm trying to avoid an echo chamber because I don't want to hear the same stuff coming back. And I also don't want to hear, I just don't want a bunch of yes men either.
Right.
So it's important to me that the people that are in part of what I'm doing are living what they're saying. It's been something that I've found pretty prevalent as far as people that I've had interacted with or people that are willing to come on the podcast. So it's maybe somewhat of an echo chamber because they already know what the podcast is about. But they're the other people that I occasionally see who are out there running around with their kids or engaging with their kids. And it kind of circles back to what I said earlier about how just being present is really the biggest thing you can do to, like, 100x your return on your investment on your family. Just literally make the conscious decision to be like, all right, I'm going to be here. I'm not going to like most of it because I don't like little kids things. Like, I don't enjoy that stuff. I enjoy the park. Sure, that's fun. I get to run around. But if I'm sitting here with this one, I mean, she's two, so she wants to play with Play-Doh or she wants to color. And I'm colorblind, so I hate coloring. So I don't care about that kind of stuff. But that's not the point. The point is, she wants to do it. I'm going to do it with her. It is a bonding activity. I get the joy from watching her enjoyment. I don't need the joy from doing the activity. And that, like I said, the biggest takeaway for me is those kinds of things where, like I said, I felt so isolated and alone. Like I'd be kind of death staring at these parents like, dude, your kid's literally pulling your pants right now. Get off your ass, man. Just put the phone down. How addicted are you to this thing that you can't even fully be present with your kid? You don't even have to play with them. Just put the phone down and go walk out there. That's all he wants, man. That's it.
And that's the funny thing is I sadly enough don't interact with too many dads in the real world just because, like I said, I work from home. I've gotten myself to the point of I used to travel so much that I didn't get a solid sense of building that community in one place. My communities were always scattered over the United States. And that's not a great excuse, but that's just the mindset that I ended up with. And I think what it is people, they feel, and I could be off here, but I think people are feeling that with their phones or with their tablets or their watch or whatever technology they're holding on to, they're feeling that comfort of there's something that's making them feel like they're engaged, like they're getting those endorphins to make them feel good, because that's what exercising does as well, is gives you those endorphins. Mind you, exercise does a whole lot more, but generally, even like my shoulder, I don't know what I've done to it, just old age, whatever, slept on it wrong, but my shoulder hurts like the dickens a lot of times, and I still do like the chest and back exercises where you have to lift it up, and I'm sitting there going, rubbing my shoulder going, oh man. But I do feel, even if I'm tired and sore, I do feel better when I'm done. And I've noticed that, and I'm sure you've done it too, where you've sat there on your phone and you doom scrolled, or you just kind of get sucked into it, and then something hits you and you're like, oh, what am I doing? This is pointless. And you move on. But the problem is some people don't allow that thing to smack them out of it. So when their kid does come, or they're so focused because they feel so like important, like they're doing something on social media and they're reading people complimenting him for being at the park because he took a picture of his son playing, and he's, I'll be there in a minute, let me just respond to these comments. You know, I'm such a great dad. I'm here at the park with my son. And they're getting that boost where in the internet, in the ether, they're able to feel important, and they don't have to actually do the effort other than some pictures. And I've spoken about this before on a little bit, where there's one thing I've noticed is there's a difference of parents who are having their kids because they love their kids. They want to be around their kids. They want to be good parents. And then there's people that are using their kids as virtual signals, as look how good I am. They might think they care about their kids. They might very much love their kid, but they love that acknowledgement, that satisfaction of, look at me, I'm so great, I'm doing this. And this kind of went back to like the whole LGB trans thing with kids. Like a kid my daughter, 2 years old, she has no idea if she's a boy or girl, and she picks up dolls and plays. That's not a thought in her head at all. She doesn't think of her brother as a boy or whatever. She just thinks of him as her brother. Her go-go is Chinese for brother. And my wife's Chinese. So like a lot of times we'll say Mei Mei or go-go, which is little sister or big brother. And
that's awesome.
So my wife's trying to teach them how to speak Chinese, and I don't know a lick of Chinese. I hate to say it. To me, it all sounds like they're just yelling at each other. And then you hear them laugh. You're like, oh, you're not upset.
Yeah, those tonal languages are interesting. It's like Vietnamese and Chinese, where the tone of your voice changes what the meaning is. Like, that's too much for me.
Oh, yeah. Was it one word could mean you want sex, you want fruit, or you want bacon, something like that. I mean, I could
that's
be far off, but I knew it, like there's like a wide range of, you could either be asking for food, be asking for sex, or insulting somebody depending on the tone you use on a certain word. And I'm sitting there going, and we're expecting our kids to learn these when they're surrounded by English. So I mean, I want them to learn it, because my thought is if they can learn English, Spanish, and Chinese, there's 90% of the world they can talk to, because wherever you go, one of those three languages are being spoken. So
absolutely,
but to go back to it, is we discussed about how parents are using their kids to virtual signal, and I could be wrong, but it seems like people are trying to use their kids to virtual signal for whatever the latest trend is, instead of focusing on how to be what's good for the kids, what's going to make them healthier. I want to see my kids grow up, get married, have kids, and just kind of irritate me with the grandkids. And I act like that. I act like that grumpy old man who is happy the grandkids are running around. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
the one that just everyone sits there and goes, "Grandpa tells the weirdest jokes."
But yeah, I'm definitely gonna be a weird joke grandpa for sure.
But I mean, and I'm not saying everyone has to believe exactly what I believe not to be virtual signaling, but it seems like I said, for an example, the dad that his kid's pulling on his pants and he's on his phone, I almost have a weird suspicion that he took a picture of his kid playing, posted it on social media, and was commenting or posting so he could get that rush of "look how good I am" kind of a feeling.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all.
And it's like, what was it? I was at my son's swim class just last weekend, and I was listening to a guy talking to another, got two dads talking. And now we both mentioned that I don't know if it was before we started recording or not, but we both are on the same page. We don't understand gentle parenting very well to go in depth of it. But
yeah,
what I know of it is, and like I said, for me, it's like you have to have some forcefulness to be a parent. You have to be all this. To me, gentle parenting, from what I understand, is where you basically try to use emotional manipulation to get the kid to do what you want. And it's all, you don't want to make me upset. You don't want to make me cry, things like that. And
yeah,
I mean, I've even admitted I'm bad about that, where occasionally I'm like, "You're going to make me upset." And we all do it. But with it is, I heard this guy tell him, "Oh yeah, you have to be a gentle parent or you're just a bad dad." I'm sitting there thinking, you know, my son is like, I barely ever spanked him for the most part. You know, he was good. He listened, this and that. My daughter is so stubborn and just, I mean, it's bad to say this, but I think if my daughter was born first, she would be mean to my son. But because my son is such a good-hearted person, my daughter is nicer and more loving because of that she's seeing that.
Yeah, that's good.
But I think her personality would have been completely different and just kind of really mean if she didn't have that. But
yeah, my youngest is pretty feisty here.
But my point there is each kid is different. And to say, if you don't do something a certain way, it's, I think that's bad advice giving, is saying you have to do this or you're a bad parent, or all these different things that this guy literally was spotting things off. I'm sitting there going, you haven't mentioned anything about your kid, just what you prefer. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, most conversations you sit there and say, yeah, well, this is what I do, and my kid, blah, blah, blah. Or like I said, my daughter is stubborn, and you kind of put a correlation between the two, where this guy felt like he was at least, and from what I've heard of it, it sounded like he was more focused about, I do this, I believe this, you need to do what I say or you're a bad parent. And this guy was sitting there going, well, I don't know what that is. How do I? He goes, oh, well, let me give you my number and I'll help you with it. And I'm sitting there thinking, this poor guy's either going to, one, end up hating the guy that's giving him his number, or he's going to follow this guy's advice thinking, okay, well, this guy must know what he's talking about if he's talking about it like he is. And his kid's going to end up either, who knows, crazy. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying every kid that goes through that environment, and I used it as an example of where I've had people I grew up with, where a group of the kids grew up and three out of the four went from being okay to bad to what the heck. And the oldest was very successful, has a nice family, has done well in life, all this. So there are exceptions to the rules, obviously. But I think that without a good community, dads don't hear multiple voices to hear. Because like I said, I saw your facial expression when I talked about spanking my kid. And you kind of gave that look like, oh no. But the fact is just because I look at that a certain way and you disagree with me, doesn't mean that other factors of what I say don't have value. Like I said, once my son, I have to say, hey, let's go upstairs. Don't make me count. One, two, and he's upstairs. I don't have to say, I'm going to spank you. I don't have to spank him. I haven't spanked him in I don't know how long. And it's, like I said, at a certain point, you don't spank because, for me, that window is when they wear diapers, because with the diapers, they have the extra cushion. And once they get to an age where they can understand where spanking is no more valuable, but it's, hey, let's get moving. They can reason what you're saying. That's my thought behind it. But like the different views we have on communities, for an example, we both have how important community is. Finding that community, building that community, understanding the strength that we have in community so we have the different voices. Because, yeah, no one's, if somebody agrees with everything I say, I don't want to hear from that person at all. I mean, like you said, it's too easy to have yes men that just want to be accepted. And then there's, and this is in any area, politics, gardening, snail racing, whatever your preference is.
Yes.
Because there has to be a huge community of snail racers. I'm sure of it.
Probably much bigger than we expect.
Sadly enough, it wouldn't surprise me. There are turtle races I've seen online. So,
oh, geez.
So it wouldn't surprise me any, but I mean, yeah, there's a whole lot out. I mean, I guess my whole ranting and raving about this is that I really don't want to see other dads get into that trap of what it sounded like that other guy I mentioned was doing. Was he was only getting one voice. He sounded very nervous even asking the question to this guy or making the comment that started the conversation off, which told me he doesn't really talk to too many other dads. And, you know, the guy could be giving him great information for different things, but every dad needs to figure out what works for their kids and what works for, I'm sure what works for your stepdaughter, your 12-year-old daughter, will not work for your 2-year-old daughter. Obviously, two different personalities. They're going to be raised differently. Just like there's no way I could raise my son the way I was raised. I mean, one, trying to raise a kid today versus the 90s is not going to happen. There's just not as good TV either. So, but that's just pure opinion. But the fact is that like Sarah, I mean, even think about this. Okay. You trying to raise kids, trying to raise every kid or tell every kid they need to be raised the same way. And I've heard people go, well, I just wish I could raise my kids how I was raised. And I mean, the one thing that gets me there is if you think about it, what was your favorite part of Saturday? Was it no school? Was it sleeping in? Like Saturday, I didn't sleep in at all. I was up.
Yeah, man.
But you were woke. I almost have a feeling I can bet what you did on Saturday morning as a kid. Got a bowl of cereal, sat in front of the TV. Either your mom or dad yelled at you to get a distance from the TV because you were almost nose pressed against it. And you watched you were waiting for the adult, like, new morning news to get over so that then you could watch the cartoons and the kids shows and all this, because that was the only time you got them was where now you can easily throw on Netflix, Kids YouTube, PragerU, Bentke. There's even Sherwood Entertainment now where there's just kids entertainment on demand. So like kids don't really get excited about Saturday for that sense of I get to get up and watch my favorite cartoon and then go out and play with my friends. So, I mean, trying to even raise your kids how you were raised, you can raise them with the same values, with the same traditions, but to expect the same result as trying to put in what you either want kid to kid is not going to happen. Jake even mentioned on the interview that with all the kids, even in his classes he teaches, each kid is just far and utterly different from each other that you cannot expect the same result from every kid. And I mean, that goes with parenting, that my advice for everything is definitely not going to work for every day. And your advice, I mean, like, my son, he's wanting to see me exercise, but I'm sure listening to your podcast, not everything is going to, like you said, your 12-year-old daughter doesn't want to exercise or do as much stuff, and compared to your 2-year-old, and I'm sure as she grows, things are going to change, and it's going to change, and you're going to be, eventually you're going to sit there and go, your older sister used to do this, why don't you do this? And she's going to be like, because that's how my older sister is, and I have no interest in those things. I mean, it's just like, my son is completely nature focused. That boy can tell you anything about the snakes, anything about bugs, sea creatures. If he doesn't end up doing something with nature as he gets older, I'm going to be surprised. But, you know, let's do this. I don't want to rant too long, and I'm already realizing I'm drifting us off into another topic. So before we dive into that, I think what we're going to have to do is one of these days have a another gathering where we can have Mr. Pancake on, have Jake on, you and I, and just really do a long, drawn-out conversation where we get as much out as we can in the period of time and see what we can figure out. Because just you and I are already diving into several topics, and I try to keep them on similar topics, but obviously I've ran us into other areas.
That's the whole fun in it, though. No, and I agree with you. That'd be awesome to do, like, a roundtable discussion with all four of us. And there was so many things that came to mind just in the last few minutes of you speaking, as far as even just looking through the fitness lens. You can't make cookie-cutter things for everyone, or else that's what everyone would already be doing. And similar, it made me think of the education system, how they try to fit everyone in this little box. Mm-hmm. And I'd never fit in that box. And that's probably why I'm so against formalized education these days. But mm-hmm. there were just so many different topics. And the guy who you were talking about was giving advice to the other gentleman of my way or the highway, essentially. And that's just such a toxic viewpoint. Like, that's just us versus them. Like, that's just separating people into camps, and that is when things turn out really poorly for both parties, because you're fighting, essentially. If you're not 100% with me, then I don't like you. And then, like I said, that's such a toxic viewpoint, and I purposely avoid people like that in my life, because I've tried to engage with them. I've tried to have civil, logical discussions with them. And all that I've come to realize from the many times that I've tried is that they just become more entrenched in their ideas, and they dig their heels in, and they fight back and push even harder. And I don't care enough to try to help them out of it. So it's not even like I'm right either, but it's the right whole mindset. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm not going to talk to someone who's like that. It's setting the whole conversation up for failure.
Oh, I agree. And that's the thing, is it's so easy to get into that. And I mean, even especially like politics, people are very much in that mindset of, if you don't believe everything that this side of the politics believes, like I always find it funny when I tell people I'm libertarian, I hate everybody in politics. But I hold traditional family values and things like this. But I mean, I had, like, the neighbors behind me, I think the reason they started hating me is because the guy was talking about how Democrats are so good, Republicans are so bad, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I think we should put them all in jail for treason, throw away the key, start fresh with all the politicians, and put term limits and do this, that, and the other thing. And he looks at me and goes, well, no, I like these people because they agree with me. I'm like, yes. I'm like, yeah, I see where this is going. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's just that mindset of, you get into that way of thinking. So yeah, we definitely need to get a round table, a meeting, maybe do a joint podcast, something where we have your show on, our show on. I don't know if you do yours live. Obviously we record here because I need to edit, and I want to make sure we sound good and look pretty in the videos. But Yeah, with that, I mean, I'm thinking we're going to have to schedule something, find a time to do this, because it's easy to get into a long conversation. And like I said, just you and I easily dove into several areas. And yeah. I imagine with Mr. Pancake and Jake on, where that's going to lead us. I mean, I can only imagine how many rabbit holes we'll find there. So
let's dive all of them, man. That's the fun in it.
I agree. So let's do this. We're going to end this one right now for everybody else. Where do you want people to find you? Where do you want people to find your website? What website? I don't know if you have multiple websites. I know of one. And then I know of your social media. Where's the best way for people to find out about you, contact you, what so have you?
Yeah, so the easiest way to like contact and look for all of my content is, it's not my website, but it's one of those link tree kind of things. But the actual website is bento.me/my name, Barrett Nobel Fit. And I'll send you the links and all that stuff so that people can find it. But aside from that, I mean, I read a blog called hybridathletepro.com. Jake and I have our deadfitdynasty.com. I have my deadfitcoaching.com. Mm-hmm. I'm on all socials at Barrett Nobel Fit, was all of them except YouTube, which is at Barrett Nobel Fitness. That's Rumble. That's Instagram. That's TikTok. That's X. Everything, basically. I'm predominantly on X, though, just because I find the most value in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually nice to actually be able to engage with people, whereas Instagram's more like, oh, look at me. Look at my ass. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I don't care too much about that. I enjoy my wife's ass. Thanks. But
yeah, I agree there. But yeah, people, I'll have all those links in the show notes so people can find you. And then for anybody looking for Call with Dads, you can go to our website, callwithdads.com, which has the videos there, has the podcast if you want to listen to it on the website. If you want to find it on, say, your favorite player, I have that on the homepage, easy as can be. We have a blog there. We have a whole bunch of stuff. Mr. Pancake, who's not on here, but does a big portion of everything that we do, you can find him at Pancakes with Your Dads, and he's on almost every social media. So you can always easily find him through Pancakes with Your Dad and the links in there. But with that, finally, before we go, I want to remind people it's easy to help out the show. We have affiliate links, and our affiliate links are meant to help us put money back into our cause so that we can grow and build the dad community, improve the show, improve what we're doing, find new, better ways so that we can implement that money. Mr. Pancake and I both have full-time jobs that we use that money to pay our bills. Any money that comes in through the affiliate links, through the shops or donations, are all dedicated to go right back into helping build this dad community. And even Mr. Pancake has a book series, Justice Frog, that he has out, that each book that he buys, each book gets purchased, that money goes back into buying more books to go to local libraries so that other kids can enjoy those books. So, I mean, with that being said, we're all trying to do our best to do what we can. Help us out if you feel like you're gaining something out of this. If you feel like our rambling did nothing for you, thanks for being here. Hopefully you listen to it again and you find those nuggets and you're like, hey, okay. Other than that, Barrett, if you can hold on for me a second, we're going to cut this off for everyone else, but I'm going to talk to you for a few more minutes.
Right on, man. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here.